Oral Testament reading this morning is going to come from the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from the 55th chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 5, which is found on page 671 of your pew Bibles. So let us listen to God's word for us. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. And our gospel reading this morning will come from the Gospel of Matthew, we'll read from chapter 14, Matthew's Gospel, verses 13 through 21, and that is found on page 893 of your pew Bibles. So again, let us listen to God's word for us. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away, so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." And Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." And they replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled, and they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. I think that Jesus in our text this morning, our gospel reading from Matthew, is just a little broken. I think his heart might be just a little broken. His spirit might be just a little broken. Maybe even his resolve and enthusiasm for his own vocation might be just a little broken this morning. After all, he has just heard the news in the preceding pericope that his cousin John the Baptizer had been brutally and senselessly murdered by King Herod. It took place at one of Herod's palace parties. John had objected to the king marrying his brother's wife, and John had criticized that, and it created a great deal of anger on the part of the king, on the part of his wife, on the part of his wife's daughter, and John ended up losing his head. But now Jesus has heard about it, and so Jesus does what we all do in the face of tragedy In the face of injustice, in the face of human cruelty, he seeks out for himself a lonely place, a place to grieve, a place to pray, perhaps a place to think about his own vocation as the bearer of God's kingdom. But Jesus is still popular with the people, we are told, and the crowds come looking for him. Perhaps they too have heard about John the Baptist, and they are also grieving. Maybe they too are broken, and in their grief and their brokenness, they go looking for Jesus, looking for answers, looking for consolation. And I think it would have probably been easy for Jesus at this point to have inflamed the crowds. Probably would have been easy for Jesus at this point to have appealed to the crowds' anger, to their resentment, to their fears, to their uncertainties. It would have been easy for Jesus to work the people up into a frenzy of revenge against Herod. But we are told that Jesus does not do that. Instead, we are told that Jesus has compassion. He has compassion for the people. Even though Jesus himself is hurting, even though he himself is grieving, even though he himself is a little broken, he responds to the people with deep compassion. That's what makes a true leader great, is the compassion that he has for everyday, ordinary people. Matthew has already told us that Jesus is Emmanuel, that he is God with us. And one of the enduring qualities of the God that we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ is his compassion. His compassion for everyday people. And so instead of using the people as a foil to his own greatness, instead of working the people up in a frenzy, he begins to attend to the people's brokenness. He heals them, heals their bodies, heals their minds, heals their spirits, because Jesus has deep compassion. But now we are told it's getting late. They're in a lonely, desolate place, and the people are getting hungry. That's what the disciples tell the Lord. Lord, the people are hungry. They have this deep hunger deep down inside of them. You know how we human beings are. We are constantly hungry. We hunger for truth. We hunger for meaning. We hunger for justice. We hunger for the ways of God. We all have this deep hunger deep down inside of us. The problem is that sometimes we try to satisfy that hunger with all kinds of other things, all kinds of fare that is not very satisfying. And we know that there are plenty of people out there who are willing to dish us up fare that isn't very satisfying. Lots of people who would try to fill that hunger in ways that are less than satisfying and edifying. But the disciples go to Jesus and they tell him, the people are hungry, Lord, why don't we send the people away? Why don't we send them away, dismiss them, allow them to go back into town so that they can take care of their hunger? Maybe that's the disciples' way of showing compassion. Let the people leave so they can catch 7-Eleven before it closes and everything will be all right. But Jesus responds by saying, don't send the people away, but you give them something to eat. You feed them. You give them something to eat. After all, you guys have been with me. You've been walking with me. You've been listening to me. You know the way I do things. You know the way God does things. You give them something to eat. And the Lord's disciples respond in the same way that I've responded in the past, that I've heard lots of people respond, especially lots of church people, lots of preachers. Lord, we don't have enough. We'd like to feed the people, but we don't have enough. We're just a small church. We're just a small people. And the people's needs are so great, but we don't have enough. We don't have enough people. We don't have enough resources. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough energy. We just don't have enough. All we have are these 8 fish and these 5 loaves, and they're not enough, not enough for 5,000 people. We don't have enough. And that's true by worldly standards. By worldly standards, there's never enough. I was an economics major in college way back in the day, and I can still remember my economic professors hammering that into our heads. There's not enough. Resources are always scarce, so there's never enough. But in the economy of God, in God's way of doing things, there is always enough. There is always more than enough. In the economy of God, what matters is not whether you have enough resources. The resources are always there. What matters is faithfulness. Will you be faithful with just a little bit that you have? Because if you are faithful to God, faithful with your life, there is always enough. And so the Lord takes what the disciples have. He takes their fish, he takes the 5 loaves, and before the story is over, there is a miracle. There's enough for everyone. Everyone eats. Everyone has an opportunity to eat. All 5,000 people, and that's just the men. I'm sure there were many of them who brought their wives and their children, but the point is, there was enough for everyone. Everyone was satisfied. Not only was there enough for everyone, but there were 12 baskets of food left over. In God's economy, there is always enough. And some people looked at this story and said that the real miracle in this story is the miracle of sharing. That maybe there were some people in the crowd who actually did bring enough food. Maybe there were some people in the crowd who bought enough food for themselves, brought enough food for their family, but said, you know, I'm going to use this food for me. I'm not necessarily going to share it, but I'm going to use it for me and my family. I've got enough for me and mine, but don't have enough for anyone else, especially that family over there that has the questionable accent. I'm not going to share with anybody. It's all mine. But then, being moved by the example of the disciples who give everything that they have, then hearts are opened and people begin to share what they have. And before it's all over, there is enough. There's enough for everyone. And that sounds plausible to me. Maybe that's the way this miracle unfolded. But I think that would have to be an awful big miracle. Imagine somehow God being able to penetrate closed hearts so that people share with one another and there being enough. Imagine God being able to do that. That's a big miracle. I find it easier to believe that God just multiplied the loaves and the fish. That seems easier to me to believe. But with God, all things are possible. And so we are told that everyone has what they need, because there is enough. But the thing that intrigues me most about this story is what Jesus does to the loaves after he receives them from his disciples. We are told that Jesus takes them and blesses them and breaks them and gives them away to his disciples, who in turn gives them to the people. Did you catch that? He takes them, blesses it, breaks the loaves, and gives it away. We've all heard those words before. They are the words of the supper, the words of the Lord's Supper. "This is my body broken for you," Jesus says. "Do this in remembrance of me." He took the bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it away. We say those words every time we have communion. Today, of course, is the first Sunday of the month. This is the Sunday that we would usually have communion. We don't have communion during the summer months, of course, because, one, we are not in our sanctuary, but also because there's not enough. Usually during the summer months, there's not enough elders to be able to administer the sacrament, so we usually don't have the sacrament during the summer months. We will resume that again next month in September. But the point is, that every time we have communion, we are reminded of the deep compassion that God in Christ has for each and every one of us. It is a compassion that reaches out to us from the depths of the Lord's own suffering and brokenness on the cross. Jesus, the chosen one. Jesus, the blessed one. Jesus, the one who was willing to be broken and given away for the sake of the world. That is the message that Jesus is communicating in this lonely, deserted place after he hears about the death of John the Baptist. Jesus is wanting everyone to know that this is the pattern upon which his own life will unfold. He is the one who will give everything. He is the bread of life. He will give himself so that you and I might have the abundant life that God wants to give us. But we're reminded this morning that this pattern which Jesus shows us is not just about Jesus. It is also about us. It's about all of us. We are the people who are called. We are the people who are taken and blessed and broken and given away for the sake of the world. We are the people who are called to participate in the life of Christ, the life of compassion, to be taken. A better word for that is chosen. We've been talking a little bit about that this summer, the chosen people, God's chosen people. God, we read a few weeks ago, chose Abraham, and God chose Jacob, and God chose Isaac. God chose people to carry on God's word. They are God's chosen people. But what does it mean to be chosen? To be chosen means to be blessed, of course. We know that. We heard that too when we read out of the book of Genesis several weeks ago when God talked to Abraham. God told Abraham that he would be blessed and he would be a blessing to the whole world. So we are chosen as God's people. We are chosen and we are chosen to be blessed. But we are also chosen to be broken. We are chosen in deep humility to give ourselves to God's will. We are chosen to die to ourselves and to die to all of those identity markers that have defined us. We are chosen to be broken in the sense that we recognize that we are sinful, to admit our sins, our shortcomings, to admit that we cannot save ourselves. And we are called chosen to be given away for the sake of the world. I was talking about the concept of being God's chosen, called people. People who are called to be broken. People who are called to be the bread of life. Several years ago, during those events at 9/11, when those buildings, those towers were coming down, most everyone else were running to get out of those towers and running to get away from them. But as everyone else was running away from the towers, there was one group of people who was running to get in. They were running to get into those towers to save as many lives as they possibly could. And that was the firemen, the emergency personnel. They were the people who had been called. They were the people who had been chosen. They had been chosen by way of their vocation to give their lives for the sake of saving people. And so while everyone else was rushing out, they were rushing in. And they rushed into that building as those towers collapsed and as they were in the process of rescuing as many people as they could. They were chosen. Chosen. They were blessed. They were called. They were the people who our society had identified to be heroes, to be saviors. And they were broken. They were called to give their lives for the sake of a bigger purpose. And that is our vocation too. We are chosen, taken, and we are blessed because we are a part of God's enterprise. We are a part of what God is doing in the world. And we are called to give ourselves, to break ourselves open, to crack open ourselves, and to give ourselves away for the sake of the world. I think Jesus had his own sense of vocation clarified in that lonely place. I think when Jesus heard about what happened to his cousin John the Baptist, Jesus understood clearly what this vocation, what his calling was all about. His calling was not to be blessed in the way that we understand being blessed, but his calling would be to give himself away for the sake of all of us. I think at that lonely, deserted place, Jesus came to realize that. And so he took the bread, he took the loaves, he took what was on offer, and he blessed it, and he broke it, and he said, in effect, this is my body. This is my life. This is what I am called to do. I am called to give myself for the sake of the world, for the sake and the redemption of the whole world, because this is the only way of life that brings true abundance. And he wants each and every one of us to do the same thing. To be people who are willing to open ourselves up and allow our own lives to be broken so that God can bless the whole world through our efforts, through what we bring to the Lord. We talked earlier about sharing, but Jesus isn't interested simply in us sharing. He isn't interested in our stuff. He isn't interested merely in our money. He isn't merely interested in our time. He's not even interested in the gifts that he has given us. What Jesus wants is your life. He wants our lives. He wants everything we have, no matter how meager we might think that life is. Some of us might think our lives aren't very important. Some of us might think that we're too young. Some of us might think that we're too old. Some of us might think that we have nothing to offer, but Jesus wants all of it. He wants us to bring all of ourselves to him. All of our triumphs, all of our pains, all of our hurts, everything that we have, he wants us to bring it to him so that he can transform it, so that he can bless it, so that he can multiply it. And he promises us, if we bring what we have to him, there will be enough. There will always be enough. There will be enough for redemption. There will be enough for the blessing of the whole world. There will be enough for the sharing of everyone. There will be enough for the blossoming of God's kingdom. There will be enough. Because that's what God does. He takes what we bring and he multiplies it and uses it for the sake of his kingdom. You and I, like Jesus himself, are part of the broken bread. That's part of our vocation. We are the people who are called to be taken, to be blessed, to be broken, and to be given away for the sake of the world. Because again, that is the only way of life that leads to abundance. Let us pray. Gracious God, in a world where we hear calls for us to be great, to make ourselves great, to make our country great, you have reminded us what true greatness is. True greatness is not to indulge a life where we are constantly getting and seeking. True greatness is opening our lives up to be used by you. True greatness is a willingness to be your people, a willingness to be taken and blessed and broken and given away for the sake of the world. When we understand that you have called each and every one of us to participate in your life of compassion for all, then we will understand what it truly means to be great. We ask all of these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.